Folk are talking about you whether you realize it or not. The question is, what are they saying? Your story is being told right now. Your story is being told whether you realize it or not. And your story will be told even after you're dead and gone. Say yes. Amen. First, giving honor to our great God and to all of the officers and family and friends of these two great churches, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. The text that was read earlier out of Matthew, the 26th chapter, I want to lift up the 13th verse as our text for this morning. Matthew chapter 26, that 13th verse, it reads, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Amen. I want to share with you today from the subject of your story. Your story. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this privilege, O God. And now, Father, I ask that you would use me for your will and for your glory. Come now, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, overshadow this vessel. God, have your way. And Father, I pray that you would open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, for we want to see Jesus. And open our hearts that we might receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Your story. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to go to an amazing event down at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, and it was entitled, I Am Queen Charlotte. Amen. Now, my mother had invited me because she was one of the queens that was being honored in that event, but I didn't have a clue as to how that event was going to turn out. And I might say that I was quite surprised and I was quite blessed from having attended that event on last Sunday. There were several women, I think it was like 12 different ladies that were honored. But how they did it was they had a group of young ladies on stage as well as some youthful young ladies on stage, and they told each woman's story. And all of these women had some type of impact on the city of Charlotte, hence the name, I Am Queen Charlotte. But they went from woman to woman telling each one's story of how they impacted the city of Charlotte, how they were having an impact on the neighborhoods, the business community, and various areas of the community in the city of Charlotte. And how they told each story was amazing. And they had three young ladies who were singing. Lord, they were singing. Hallelujah. I asked if they had videoed it. Amen. I still haven't gotten a response from it yet. Amen. But it was just a pleasure to be in that event. But then, this being Women's History Month, now, I had to stop and ask a question. Now, I have nothing against ladies, trust me, but when I ask this question, but do men get a Men's History Month? Is there a Men's History Month? Amen. I knew I should have left that one alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I began to think about the fact that each of those ladies had a story. And not all of their stories started out pretty. Some of them had some horrific stories that started out with, but their stories ended up being a blessing. Some of them had some very challenging stories to start out with, but they ended up being a blessing. But as I began to think about that event and again, it being Women's History Month, and I began to reflect on how I could speak to not only the women of our church, but all who will partake of this message, but also the men of the church. But then I began to realize that all of us have a story. Every one of us has a story to tell, and each of us has our own unique story to tell. And then each one of us has what I called your story. Yes, you have a story. Whether you realize it or not, there's a story that will be told about your life. But when we think about this story that's going to be told, we find out that here in our text, there's a woman by the name of Mary, who, according to John, is the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And as a result of her coming into this meeting that has gathered in the Simon the leper's home, we find that this particular woman, Mary, has taken her alabaster box and she's broke it open and she's beginning to anoint Jesus afresh. And Jesus said, she's done this for my burial. He is yet to go to the cross at Calvary. He is yet to give his life as a ransom for us. But he says, she did this for my burial. And if you know the story of Jesus going to the cross at Calvary, they didn't have time to take his body and properly prepare it. So we find out that what this woman, Mary, did was exactly that, prepared him for his burial. She anointed his body before they had time to take him to the grave. But as he began to talk about this woman, he began to say something about her in that 13th verse. He said, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. She had a story. Well, for us, each of us has a story to tell, and the only reason that we have a story is because of Jesus. When I look at this text that's in front of me, and the first thing that I began to notice out of our text is this: what will your story be? What will your story be? What does the story look like now? If you ran through your mind and asked yourself, what does my story look like now? And then say, what is the story that I want told about me? You have to answer those two questions. What does my story look like now? And what do I want the story to be told about me? All of us have a story. But your story now may not be the story that you want told. But maybe there's a story that you do want told, and the way that you can get a better story is to get a better life. Hallelujah. And the way to a better life is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when we have a story, and all of our stories didn't start out right. Amen. And in fact, all of our stories started out wrong. Amen. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and as we've learned in the book of Genesis, that every one of us is born with a sin nature, which is what caused your story to start off wrong in the first place, because of the sin nature that each of us has. My story started off wrong. Amen. I tell my own story of how I was not honoring God and how I was doing everything except for worshiping the Lord. But then one day I realized that I had a story that wouldn't do anybody any good. And I began to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and it told me that I needed to have a better story. I needed to have a better life. And the way to that better story and a better life was through Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus coming into my life, my story began to change. Yes. Hallelujah. How many of you know sometimes you need a rewrite? Hallelujah. You ever been trying to write a paper and you keep starting over? And you keep starting over, and you keep starting over. We wish life was like that for us sometimes. When we made mistakes, we wished we could start over. We wish we could get a do-over. Amen. I remember we used to play basketball, and if you messed up a shot, you said, nah, nah, do over, do over, do over. You don't always get a do over. Especially when this thing called life, once you live it, once you already experienced it, there's not always an opportunity for you to get a second chance. And there's not always an opportunity for you to get another chance. Hallelujah. Sometimes we've done things and it cost us to the point that we don't get another chance. We don't even get a second chance. And we have to live with the consequences of the choices that we made. But this woman began to do something for Jesus, and it began to give her a story that he said would last wherever the gospel is told throughout the world. This woman had a story that her story started off wrong, but because of a relationship with Jesus, her story began to change. Because of her relationship with Jesus, her story took another turn. And many of us know what that's like because our story took another turn. Our story took a turn when we gave our life to Jesus Christ. But the big question is, how will my story end? It can start one way and it can end another way. And I'm so glad that because of Jesus Christ, my story can take a turn for the better. Because of Jesus Christ, my story can have a better outcome. And because of Jesus Christ, my story has a great outcome. Hallelujah. And it's promised that I will be in glory with our Father. Hallelujah. You've got that same story if you belong to Jesus Christ. You've got that same outcome if you belong to Jesus Christ, that you will wind up in glory with the Lord. Because you have given your life to Jesus Christ, our story will take a turn. But while we're living down here, our story is still being written. Every time you live, your story is written. Every day that you live in this world, your story is written. What will be written about you? What will people begin to say about you? If your story is ugly, you can turn it into a beautiful story. All through Jesus Christ. Does your story lead to Christ? Does your story have Christ in it? Is there someone in your life, in the background of your life, telling you that you need a rewrite? You need to begin to write your story differently. You need to have a new author to help you write your story. Amen. Many of us need a ghostwriter. Hallelujah. To help write our story. Jesus can be your ghostwriter, and he can write a story for you with a great outcome, with a beautiful ending. Amen. It's going to have some things along the way. It's not going to be drama free. Amen. It's not going to be stress free, but it'll be beautiful in the end. Hollywood could never write a story the way that God can. Hollywood could never give you the ending that God can give you. Hollywood can never place you in a glorious place that has all that you ever dreamed of. No Hollywood story has ever been written that can give you any of that. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no actor that can play this part. And in fact, actors are not required. In fact, actors are discouraged. Amen. He needs real people. He needs people who are going to live a real life before the people in this world. He needs people who are going to live a real life before him. And as they live that real life, he will continue to write their story. He will continue to tell their story. But the question is, what will your story be? But not only do we have to ask, what will our story be? We also have to ask the question, who will tell your story? Who is going to tell your story? Now, the truth is, we got family members that will tell our story. Amen. Amen. Now, some of your family members might not like you. Amen. But because your story started off ugly. Hallelujah. But because your story started off ugly and family knows you best, and they began to tell your story. But then a change happened in your life, and your family has to tell a different story. Hallelujah. Anybody know someone that had a bad story? Life events happen. Somebody in your family had a bad story. maybe it's you that had the bad story, and then family was telling the bad story. Amen. It's amazing the family would tell the bad story, but they refuse that when your story starts to get better, they have a hard time telling that story. Anybody ever been there? You've been there when your story was bad, but then you started changing and they kept talking about the bad things that you used to do and the bad person that you used to be, but they didn't want to tell your new story. But God says, I've given you a new story. I've given you a rewrite. And because of the rewrite, your story is now different. But it may take a while for your family to begin to tell your new story. But they'll begin to tell your new story, and your new story will begin to take hold, and your new story will soon outweigh your old story. Amen. But be careful, because that's where friends come in. They'll remind you of what you used to be. And don't run into friends that you haven't seen in a while. Hallelujah. The ones that you haven't seen in a while, and because you haven't seen them in a while, they don't know about your new life. They don't know about your new story. And as a result of not knowing about your new story, they began to talk about the old things that you used to do, the old places that you used to go. And then they began to try to entice you to go back to the old way of life. That's when you got to have enough energy and enough zeal in you and enough courage in you to say, that's not me anymore. I'm living a new life now. That's not me anymore. I belong to Christ Jesus now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because I've given my life to him. I've got a different story now. And my story is being told by family and it's been told by friends. But make sure you're telling the right story. Amen. But then there's also church members that'll tell your story. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the church members, they have a different story to tell about you because most of them don't know you the way that others do. Your church family may not know you the way that your family and your friends do. Amen. You're new to them. Amen. Unless you grew up in the church. Amen. They saw you was a little hellraiser from the time that you came out and you kept going and you grew up in the church. That's the only way they know. But most of us, when we come to the church, most folk don't really know us. And we began our story there. And that's the story that they know about you. That's the you that they know. They don't know this other person. They don't know the ugly story unless you tell them about your ugly story. But the good thing about when your church family tell your story, even if you tell them the ugly part of your story, they'll say that's under the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. They'll say that Jesus Christ has already covered that. And they'll begin to talk about the goodness of the Lord. They'll begin to celebrate with you because you got a new life in Christ Jesus. The question is, who is going to tell your story? And there may be some non-church members that'll tell your story. Those folk that you don't know and those folk that are not in the body of Christ, but they are interacting with you. And because of their interaction with you, they see this child of God. And as a result of that, non-Christians will tell your story. They'll tell you about how I met this person and how they were so favorable to me, how they blessed me so, how that person just went out of their way when they didn't have to. They'll tell your story because you got a story now that's being written by Jesus Christ, a story that has been transforming in your life. And because of this new story, this non-Christian is telling somebody about a person that they met that touched their life so. And then there's strangers that may tell your story. Folk that you've never seen and may never see again. That's why it's important that we live a life before others that is pleasing to the Lord. Because we never know who we run into. We never know who we might meet and how we conduct ourselves with them. How we live our life before them could be a transforming point in their life. So be careful when you entertain strangers, because the Bible says we entertain strangers and we might be entertaining angels unaware. When you think about how God has given you this new story, when you think about God has changed your life and turned you to the right direction, when you think about God has set you on a new course in life, and who is telling your story? Family will tell your story. Friends will tell your story. Church and non-church members will tell your story. And strangers will also tell your story. This woman's story was being told by Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice what Jesus said. Wherever the gospel, the good news is preached, this woman's story will be there. This woman's story will last. They'll talk about her deeds and they'll discuss what she's done. All because she decided one day that she was going to make a sacrifice. And she made a great sacrifice by bursting open her alabaster box and pouring the ointment on Jesus. And as the result of that work that she did to prepare his body, she was willing to give up the most precious thing that she had at that time. We don't realize it because we just go to the store and buy perfume and cologne at will. But this alabaster box was expensive, and the amount that she had, it probably was the family's alabaster box, where the family was looking toward this box as a means of supporting them. And she just took it and she broke it open and she began to pour it on Jesus. And that began to give her a story. Because she did something for Jesus that no one else had done. She did something for Jesus to prepare him for what was to come. And he said, this will be a memorial for her. This will be a story for her that will last. Every time you hear the good news preached, they'll be reminded of what this woman has done. And notice he said, throughout the world, your family, your friends, church and non-church members and strangers will tell your story. But then there is the question, when will your story be told? Your story is being told right now. Every day that you live, your story is being told. Whether you realize it or not, folk are talking about you even right now. Amen. The question is, what are they saying? What are they saying? It amazed me one day, one of our neighbors up the street came down something and he said, yeah, man, I know y'all go to church every Sunday. I said, how you know? I started, how you know that? Folk are watching you whether you realize it or not. Folk will be telling other folk about you whether you realize it or not. Amen. Just yesterday, I had a lady introduce me to her mom. She said, this is the one I've been telling you about. Folk are talking about you whether you realize it or not. The question is, what are they saying? Your story is being told right now. Your story is being told whether you realize it or not. And your story will be told even after you're dead and gone. Hallelujah. Many of us are still telling the story of Reverend Wanda Cuthbertson. Many of us are still telling the stories of other saints gone by. Many of us are still telling the story of other leaders of our church and church family. Many of us are still telling the story of somebody who's no longer here. Your story will be told now, and your story will be told after you're gone. The story will continue to be told. And as your story is being told, it's reflecting and people are telling people, new people about you. It's telling people who you were and telling people what you have done. And especially if you have been a worker in the body of Christ, they're telling them about the service that you have given to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Sister Melinda was honored on yesterday as the layperson from our church at Wesley. Her story was being told. Her story was already told here at Wesley. But her story got told yesterday among some other folk that she doesn't even know. Some she does and some she doesn't. It was told among church folk and possibly non-church folk alike. Her story was being told of the service that she had been given or has been given to the church. Her story has been told about where she grew up and where she was born. Her story was being told. Our story is being told right now, and it will continue to be told even after we leave this world. And your story has the possibility of being told for generations to come. How we live our life matters. How we conduct ourselves matters. How our story ends up matters. So I encourage you to live a life for Christ. Live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Live a life that is devoted to the service and the worship of Almighty God. Live a life in service to your fellow man. Live a life in service to the kingdom of God. Live a life that looks out for others and not only for yourself. Live a life that is willing to lend a helping hand where a helping hand is needed. Willing to step in and speak on behalf of other people. Live a life that somebody can say, that person I knew, that person I met long ago, that person will continue to have their story told generations after they've left this world. We look at some of the heroes of our faith, their story is still being told. David's story is still being told. Paul's story is still being told. Moses' story is still being told. Abraham's story is still being told. They have died over 2,000 years ago, but their story is still being told. Will your story be told generations from now? Will your story continue to be told long after you've left this world? I pray the answer is yes, because you have a wonderful story, a story that is being written by Jesus Christ. And your story will continue to be told for generations to come, because you have a story of transformation. You have a story of service, a story of worship. You have a story of being a blessing to the kingdom and a blessing to the world. And because of that, your story is being told from generation to generation. But finally, we must understand this. Where will your story be told? It's not enough that our story is told. It's not enough to know that it's being told by family and friends. It's not enough to know that our story will be told maybe generations from now. But where will it be told? How far will your story go? Is your story only here in the four walls of the church? Will your story go outside of these four walls? Will your story make it outside of your home? Or will your story be confined only to your home? Your story will be told in your home. Your home matters. How you live in your home matters. What story will be told by your family? What story will your wife tell? What story will your husband tell? What story will your children tell? Hallelujah. There are some families that the story of the father will be told. He was just a mean and nasty old person. But then there's another family whose story will tell. He was a loving and kind father, a generous father, a father that would give his last, a father that was sacrificial in his living for his family. What kind of story will it be told about the mother? Yes, she was a mother that didn't care about her children. She was a mother that abused her children. Or is it she's a mother that was a loving mother, a mother that was so kind to every child she ever met? What kind of story will be told about you? And where will it be told? Yes, it will be told among believers and unbelievers alike. There's a circle of folk that you may have never met before in your life, but because somebody knew you and they told your story to them, they are telling your story to other people. Hallelujah. You ever had somebody that you didn't know and you run into them and life presents them to you and they began to say, is your name? Yeah. Oh, so-and-so was telling me about you. Where will your story be told? Will your story be told in the grocery store? Will your story be told at the church house? Will your story be told in the hospitals? Will your story be told on the streets? Where will your story be told? As I sat last Sunday in that auditorium and I watched these ladies' story be told, it was filled with a bunch of strangers, and each woman's story was being told to someone that they'd never met before. Each woman's story was being presented to a new group of people. Each woman's story was being shared with someone that they may never see again. And there's some women whose story was being told are no longer here. That means that their story was being told even after they had transitioned from this world. Where will your story be told? Is the church the only place your story can be told? Or do you have an impact in the world that your story can be told in the world and in the church? Where will your story be told? I found this quote from William Barclay. He said, there are some things that can be done at one time, and there are some things that can only be done but once. And to miss the opportunity to do them is to miss the opportunity forever. That goes back to the 11th verse of our text, where it says, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Jesus said, you will always be able to minister to the poor. But she only had this one time to be able to anoint my body for burial. And she didn't miss the opportunity. The question is, are you missing your opportunity? Are you missing your opportunity to have a new story? Are you missing your opportunity to have a different story? Are your priorities right? There are some things that you'll always have a chance to do. But there may be something has come your way and you only have one chance to do it. You only have one opportunity to do it. Are you taking advantage of that one opportunity and doing that which can only be done once, or you'll miss the opportunity forever? I pray that you are taking advantage of that and that you are doing what can only be done once. And you have the privilege of being able to experience doing that one-time thing that may change somebody else's life. That one-time thing that may have changed your life. You'll never get the chance to write another story again. You only get one life to live. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about the soap opera either. You only get one life to live. But are you writing the best story that you can write? I know you may think, well, I'll get another chance. Will you? Well, I'll get another opportunity. Will you? There's an opportunity that we have to accept Jesus Christ into our life. And I'm so glad that when I look at the story of Jesus, you see, the story had a great ending, but it's had a terrible beginning. He was born into a wretched world, and he was born into a world that hated him. But his story is the greatest story that has ever been told. He came into this world strictly to die for all of humanity. That is a horrible beginning, to know that I'm coming into a world just simply to die. And he came into a world to die for folk that did not care about him, folk that did not love him, folk that rejected him, folk that ridiculed him. And in fact, he came and he died for folk that beat him and spat upon him. But he was willing to die on the cross at Calvary for those folk nonetheless. Aren't you glad that he had a different story in the end? Aren't you glad that his story was the greatest story that has ever been told? And that's the story of Jesus Christ, that one day when he went to the cross at Calvary, all bloodied and beat, it didn't end there. When he went into a grave for 3 days and three nights, it didn't end there. It was a horrible way to start, but it was a glorious ending, because it said 3 days later, he came out of the grave. 3 days later, he rose again. 3 days later, he wound up giving the blood of his blood upon the altar seat in the kingdom of God. And as a result of spreading his blood on the altar in the kingdom of God, it covered our sin debt. Your sin debt was paid because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary. You have been redeemed by what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary. Your life can be changed and transformed by what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary. And guess what? We keep telling his story, and we've been telling his story century after century after century. We've been telling his story, and guess what? We'll keep on telling his story. The words of the song go like this: I love to tell the old, old story, and I long to hear it just like the rest. All of those who know the story of Jesus Christ will keep telling the story. All of those who love Jesus Christ will keep telling the story. And as you keep telling the story, you got to keep living, because you got a story too. You got a story to tell. And my story ends with Jesus Christ saving my life. My story ends with Jesus Christ redeeming my soul. My story ends with Jesus Christ giving me the opportunity to the tree of life. My story ends with me in the kingdom of God, sitting with my heavenly Father, worshiping at his throne. My story ends when I'm sitting in glory with my heavenly Father, and I can see him face to face. That's how my story ends. I know that your story may end the same way, but it may be someone here today today. And now you say, that's not my story. I haven't accepted Jesus Christ. I haven't asked him to come into my life. Well, you can have a change of story right now. You can get that opportunity to have your soul redeemed right now and simply ask him to come into your life and save you. Come into your life and change you. Come into your life and redeem you. Come into your life and ask him as he comes in. He'll do just that. He'll save you because that's what he said he would do. He said he came to save whosoever will. He said he came to save all who are lost. And he said he came to give his life a ransom for many. But the question is, has your story changed? And what type of story are you telling about your life right now? We all have a story. But what will your story be? We all have a story. But who will tell your story? Every one of us has a story, but when will your story be told? And where will your story be told? Your story is just that, your story. I didn't like how my story was started, but I'm thankful that God gave me an opportunity to have a different ending to my story.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that this message was a blessing to you. If it was, drop us an email at wesleyonmain@yahoo.com. That's wesleyonmain@yahoo.com to let us know how this message has touched your life. Until next time, God bless.